Welcome to the Image and Glory Conference 2025. Open your heart to receive the words of righteousness declared to equip us against the words of darkness. Hearken to these holy words and be empowered to rule and reign.
It's the activity of my mercy. It's a great activity of my mercy. For when tronic matters are discussed, it's because I've had mercy upon a people. You are a people that has found so much of mercy. So the throne of grace is issuing out things of mercy. Things of mercy to you. That you may find mercy. That you may find mercy. For you see, mercy is a building. It's a building. It will be built up forever. It's an forever building. And so you have found it. You have found mercy as a people. My grace has been revealed to you. The throne of grace is so active upon you. It's so active upon you as a people. As a company. As a company, I have found you. I have found you in my mercy. I have found you and I've shown you grace. I have shown you grace. I have shown you grace because with you, I will do what I want to do. There is that which I have in mind from the foundation of the world. Even before the foundation of the world, I had it in mind that I will build mercy up. I will build mercy up, even in man. I will build mercy up. And so I found you. You are not an afterthought. Before the foundation of the world, I have seen a people. I have a people in mind. And when I find you, I pour my love upon you. So you are a generation that is carrying so much of my love. I have poured my love upon you. I have drawn you with my loving kindness. I have drawn you. I have drawn you with my loving kindness that you may see my mercy, that you may obtain my mercy. And so your God, it's a gathering of mercy. It's a gathering of mercy. Even the substances coming to you are substances of mercy. They are substances of mercy. And so you have found help in this time. You have found help. So much of help. So much of help. So much of help to fulfill an ancient intention, an ancient purpose, an ancient desire, even in the heart of my Father. Ancient thought in the heart of my Father. I have found you. And I have poured my love upon you. I have poured my love upon you. I will see you through to the end. Amen. I will see to it that you attain to the fullness of my mercy. Amen. See how the Spirit. Amen.
Right.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For I am here again to write upon you. I am here to write again upon you. Things from the book. Things from the book. I am here to write upon you. To write upon you. To write upon your heart. To wash you again. To wash you again. To make you right. To make you right. To make you come upward. To make you ascend. To make you stand right before me. To make you see me. To make you come to me. To make you journey more to me. To make you to journey. To make you to journey. I want to write out your sins. I want to take away sin. I want to blot it out. I want to write it out. I want to write out limitation. I want to take away limitation. I want to take away things that is not allowing you to ascend, even in the order that I want you to come. I want to write it out. I want to make you come up. You can come up. You can come up. It is your ordination to come up. It is your ordination to come up to me. And there are things that are stopping you, holding you, holding you, which are activities of thrones, which are activities of the evil one. But I am here. The wicked one has walked, but I am here. I am here as the son to undo even the works of the enemy, to undo the works of the devil, to undo the works of he that has held you captive, held you down from attaining, from coming up, from rising up, even from lifting your head, even from lifting up your head. For those things, I am here to frail the carpenters. I am here to frail the horns, even the horns of the wicked one, horns of the wicked one that have not allowed you heat at all to lift up your head. I have raised my own carpenters. I have raised my own voice. I have raised my own servants. My servants. They are here to empower my servants. To empower him. To write you again. To impute again. To empty again. A book into you. To empty it into you again. That you may journey further. That you may go up. It is very, very necessary for a people to come up in this season.
Amen.
See the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. The Lord is committed to raising us up and empowering us, the old house here, much more to do that in us, even much more in the days to come. Say amen. We trust the Lord that is granting help, supplying helps. Strongly, it's helping us, it's helping his servant in the house. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're showing things this morning, the activity of throne, that the strength of kingdoms are actually the thrones. That's what we're able to see this day, that any kingdom without a throne, it cannot reign. Reigning actually is the expression of the nature of a throne. So if sin will reign, sin has to be enthroned. Say amen. Somebody has to activate sin. Almost the way was sin before Satan sinned. Say that was sin. And sin is a spirit, sin is a being. So where was he? Dead. Where was dead? Before death came, death was not created. Death was activated by sin. Sin activated death. So it means that these are creatures that were not empowered to reign. They were not empowered to express themselves. If somebody used disobedience to activate them. Say amen. I want the house, please. You know, when you are in the biological world, you want to talk about viruses. Viruses, as long as they're not inside the life of your host, they are not living. They are dead. They are just like a piece of a small, tiny chemical. But immediately they get to their host, they come alive. And they can devour so much, but there's a power to devour in them. No, they had no power of such when they were not dead. They have not seen any life. So somebody gave life to sin and death. Say amen. And so because they are kings, they could reign. They had thrones. And through these thrones, sin reigned until till death passed to all. It didn't stop until death passed to all. And death from one passed to everyone. Say amen. So I want to believe God that God is bringing our attention to that focus to see reason for the reason for righteousness. And like I said this morning, the nature of a throne in terms of its strength really is how much of righteousness it has. What God ordained, I told you before that before the thrones of iniquity and wickedness came into being, what you find are thrones of righteousness. Say, they are thrones of God. Say amen. But the throne, eternal throne of God, the everlasting throne of the Father, or the throne of God in the midst of creatures, all these thrones are thrones that are expected to operate by righteousness. So when any being there act against that law of righteousness, something goes wrong, because it is supposed to, it's fabricated by righteousness. No, there are different kind of righteousness that exist. Every throne has its kind. Even the oh my soul has its own righteousness. Are we in the house, please? There are things that God expects it to live by when God made it. And so God gave it to all creatures to live by a right. There's a right that God ordained, because every domain of life is supposed to express a kind of life. A kind of life. So if it's a life, then there must be a righteousness that will trigger a life. What gives life is righteousness. Say amen. The scriptures unveil to us majorly two. There are many types, but the scriptures from God here, 0 and 2, which is called righteousness of the law and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There are the two major righteousness we find here, praise God, that are major discourse that God really went through, because we need to understand introduction of righteousness through the law, so we can be prepared for righteousness that is going to come by Jesus Christ, which is by grace through Jesus Christ. Say amen. I went to the house together, please. So righteousness is the essential nature of God that He gives to all the things He created to act in a way so that life can be generated. It's right for a fish to be in the water. If a fish is on the land, it's not right, right? How does it react? It gasps for life. Because its life is not designed when it was framed to live outside water. Because it's aquatic. Its life is there. So that is how they were framed. That's how their life is expressed. So when you take them out of that which is right about their framing, the life which they have is in jeopardy. That life is supposed to behave in a way. Praise God. And so, that's a lower life. I'm talking about creatures that God created, all the angels. They act, they live by that. I remember in the case of this man, when he met Gabriel, when he met Zacharias. But Zacharias, he said, I am. No man says, I am. I am Gabriel. And because of how he was framed, he can say, I am Gabriel. Not every angel can say, I am. You understand what I'm saying? And he was not acting out of place. He was acting in order. That was the righteousness that framed it. That's how they framed it. And he said, you will not speak by my words. He didn't say by the word of God, by my word. Yes, and he did not speak by his word. He didn't go to heaven to go and ask God, what should I say? He acted in proxy. I went to the house together, please. And that's why some of those things, the old prophets are very, very dangerous. They did a lot of things that God can't say anything about it. God wouldn't say, I punish Elijah for destroying for two children. I win the house, please. Yes, that mantle upon him. When he acts, God has not just to allow it to be. And because that's how that mantle was framed. If somebody else act that way, God will call them to ask question. What have you done? So there are a lot of things that are in God that he gave to creatures, that he gave to beings to function by a dominion. All those prophetic mantles is a dominion. I think you know that. Praise God. They are all dominions. And as long as they are in that body, they wear it and they hold no man. You are the one that will behave around them. If you see someone in the city, everybody scatter. Wondering what does it hope there's peace. Hope thou comest peaceably. And it's the mantle that God gave to him, and you have to respect it. Say amen. Either you get blessing by it or you get trouble by it. It is the way you respond to it that determines what you get. Hallelujah. And so but here, majorly two righteous things were because we're talking about two lives. The life that the law is supposed to give, and the life that Jesus is supposed to give. Every righteousness is to give life. I think you know what I'm saying. Praise God. Say amen. And that's one of the things. I think in Romans chapter 8, but ye are not in the flesh, but ye are in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life. The spirit is life because of righteousness. Every day you have this, when you have the life, you're going to have a righteousness. But when you have righteousness, you're going to have a life. You get what I'm saying? If you have life, you're going to have it, it's by righteousness. And if you have righteousness, it's supposed to ordain for a life. So that's why the life of the law is quite different from the life of the spirit, or the life of grace, or the life of Jesus. Say amen. So Paul in one of his discourse said, if righteousness is supposed to come, it should have come by the law. What is righteousness? The righteous standard of what God really expects. So though the law has, I think in that same place, Romans chapter 8, verse, said that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So the law has its own righteousness. So it has its own life. Are we in the house, please? So Paul, God used Paul because of his understanding of Christ, of life, of the Christ life, to really separate. But it was not easy to raise Christianity in the midst of Judaism. It was not easy. The thing was, Judaism has become a life. It's a life. It circumscribes everything a Jewish man does. It's like when you have you are a Muslim today, it's not only about your life. All you eat, everything circumscribes your whole life. Are we in the house, please? So sometimes the cost of what you're going to lose in that itself is a fear to many people. Because it's as if you lose your life. For us as a Christian, there are many things physically you don't, that is not a life to you. You can change your clothing system. You can eat any kind of food. Are we in the house, please? There are many things about all that's not cultural as Christianity. But when it comes to Judaism, all of that, it's entrenched in culture. It's entrenched in your whole life. So to bat Christianity in the midst of that was not easy. That even the apostles themselves, they were struggling with that. For a while, they were struggling with it. They had to cave him many times. They came many times. Peter himself came many times. Paul said, I withstood Peter to his face. That was not easy for Paul to withstand Peter to his face. Because a major investment of God was going to be tampered with. And so Peter fell into the problem. Even he caught Barnabas. When he caught Barnabas, Paul became restless. Of all people, amen. In some ways, that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. So Paul said, I withstood them to their face. And I told them, if it's not proper for you to live like a Gentile is not proper to live like a Jew. Why? Because there's a righteousness that is different from the law righteousness. And God used Paul to establish the foundation of Christianity. As based on the difference, once you miss the righteousness, you miss the life. You miss the life. That's one of the apostolic warfare, to ensure that thing is understood. Righteousness must be understood properly. Because why? It's dovetailing towards a throne. Since there are many kind of thrones, are you in the house, please? Even thrones that are thrones of God in creation, many thrones. So if you blend the righteousness, it could blend to a kind of a throne. If you alter the righteousness, it can just blend to look like a throne. And that throne, which is not the throne that God ordained for his son, it will be a throne that the son cannot use. So as it were, you have lost that soul. He has not backslid, but you have lost that soul. That soul can end up in what God ordained. It can be part of those that will champion the reign of God's life. It's as that. So when you see the apostolic jealousy of Paul and all of that, well, we wonder, what are they fighting? They are fighting spirits. After you have believed, spirits don't want you to get it right. Hallelujah. They want to invade your practice of whatever is called righteousness with all kind of things. That's why, you know, you get a, you know, in the church evolution, you get the point, you are no more wearing a ring, you have a sense of holiness. Just because you are not wearing a ring, you have a sense of holiness. And that sense, you understand what that sense does? That sense stop a quest. It gives you a satisfaction. It gives you a rest. It quenches your seeking power. And kingdom is only got in my seeking. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So you can't get a kingdom. When I say kingdom, no, I'm talking about, you can't get a throne without his righteousness. Every throne is attached to his righteousness. Hallelujah. Say amen. So God is jealous to ensure that you get right the righteousness and you get to the end of it. That's why the prophets, God used the prophets to struggle so much on that. Speaking about my salvation will come. I will make my righteousness known. You don't know it. And for many years the church still did not know that righteousness. The church, you got saved by righteousness that you don't know because you believe. You believe in what you don't know. Say amen. And they gave you something that you don't know also, called righteousness. But now, if you don't know it, somebody will corrupt it. Somebody will spoil it. Somebody will waste it. Praise God. And when that is done, it means that you cannot attain to the throne of God. You cannot. Because what frames thrones is righteousness. It is what it frames. Well, that's what they used to frame throne. It's righteousness. I believe that Jesus knew this very early. Hallelujah. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. The word foundation there is the frame or is the materials of your throne. And therefore, mercy and truth can ride upon it, can proceed from that throne because it's founded by righteousness and justice. And truth, mercy and truth go before your face. Praise God. Are we in the house together today? So, Christ got What Jesus Christ got for us altogether is righteousness. It's called the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's righteousness of Jesus Christ that is different from every other righteousnesses. Righteousness of Jesus Christ, that is the prescription of God for the throne. So if it's not just calling Jesus, I'm talking about making known of a righteous standard of righteous way. Called the way of righteousness. Are we in the house, please? Righteous way. All the things we have been preaching for the past all the days here are revelation of righteousness. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. For therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God that is for Jesus Christ. So as it were, righteousness, other righteousness are also of God. God gave it. God gave the law. Eh? Are you here? Who gave the law? God. But it is not his righteousness. It is Jesus that got God's righteousness. Jesus got God's righteousness. He is the first product of God that is framed by his righteousness. Say amen. So, it's called the righteousness of God or righteousness of Jesus. And that place called it righteousness of Christ. It's a whole ball game of the knowledge of life that God ordained that man should live by, which Jesus Christ became. He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made. Are you there with me, please? Are you here? That we might be made righteousness. So when you are made, you are framed, you become. Then that thing you are becoming is a throne. So when you say the throne of God is forever and ever, the scepter of that kingdom is righteousness. The authority of that kingdom, of thy throne, O God, is righteousness, and it's just righteousness. It's righteousness of Jesus Christ. God never showed to any creature. Are we in the house, please? The first being that God will show it to is his son. So it made his son. What made Jesus? What framed Jesus from beginning to the end? Are we in the house, please? It's righteousness. That is the life he drew. That's the life he drank. That is the life that made him. When you sow a seed needs water to grow, right? Say amen. And the water it drinks becomes what makes the tree. If there's no water, it's not going to grow. Even we sow the seed there. So what is needed to give life to what God gave is his righteousness. And that's why he also called it rain. Call it the rain of righteousness. Call it the rain. When rain falls upon seed, right? Praise God. And seed break forth and grow. It is then you know if the seed is of herbs or is a tree. If it has not grown, you don't know it. You don't know what it is. It is when the rain falls upon the tree, upon the seed, and it broke. Then you see either it is tree or herb growing up there. So what defines exactly what life is? It's righteousness. Say amen. So you can call it life. Righteousness is life. It's life. And so, praise God. Are we together today, please? And so we have that duty at this point to see. Let's start from Hebrews chapter 1. Let's see Hebrews 1 and see how God raised Jesus. Hebrews 1 was a summary of how God, you know, he was, before he came, is the Word of God. Like we said in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, right? and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it's God, it's Word from beginning, but it came, it became flesh. So he left that status of the Word and became flesh. And as flesh now, he has to grow back to become, to have the same status. That eternal status. Are you with me, please? So a creature is now have to have, as a creator, it's not his status. That's who he is. Am I in the house, please? As a creator, that's who he is. God. God is eternal. God is righteous. God is, you don't question that place. But when he became man, and has to return back there, they have to not show the way of how he became. They have to show that they didn't just take him among creation and engraft him into creator, but that really he became. So they have to unveil to him righteousness that can make him go from place to place in the spirit, change state, change nature. How righteous can make a man alter from flesh to become spirit, to become divine, to become eternal. They have to show that. So some scriptures can only be given by some ministers, like John chapter 1 verse 1. Only John can say that. Nobody can say it. Also, what you see Paul wrote here in Hebrews 1, it will take Paul to do that. Let's go there. God who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in times past on, unto the fathers by the prophets. Are you with me, huh? That in this last day spoken unto us by his son. He has spoken to us by his son whom? So he has to describe, just like we have, there are different kind of sons. So being a son is not strange. It's not strange in the word of God's people. When I say you are a son of God, it's not strange. You have order of sonship. Maybe you are a son, daughter of Adam. Are you right? Even the point that God referred to David as son of a kind, to Solomon as son of a kind. So sonship, though Israel knew that sonship involved adoption, but they don't know that there are sons who can have the same nature or inheritance as the father. Amen. If you adopt a son, though you adopt him, has right to your estate, but he doesn't have your nature. Huh? When they check his DNA, it's not your DNA. It's when he needs a blood transfusion, you will know that really by blood, you are not his father. I went to the house, please. So they have seen sons in various levels, but he has to bring this issue up and describe this kind of son the way it is really speaking. So he said that at in this last day spoken to us by his son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, and by whom he made the world, or he framed the world, or he framed the ages. So he's telling you this son is the eternal word. Am I with you in the house here? So this is important concerning our destiny. If it's not unveiled, our travel is already cut short. We don't have a place we are going. If somebody has not gone the way before us, they can't say, you know the way. You understand what I'm saying now? No Jesus, there's no way. There's no way you are going. You remain the way you were with you came from with your parents, with your fathers. So that in this last day spoke to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. By whom he made the world. By this son he made the world. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That his son, it's not here. It's no more on the earth. Say amen. Amen. This son is no more in the grave. This son is today seated on the right end of the majesty on high. He's the son of the most high. He's the son of the on high. And that he has gone back to where he belongs. Say amen. Amen. Before he went back there, he inherited all things of his father. And sat down on the right hand of Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels. Was the best of creatures are the angels. And these are the ones described as son of the morning, the son of the beginning. They are the, when you say son to creation, that's the only one they know as son, as the original sons. They know Solomon is not a son. They know it. That is the sons of the morning. But he said this one is made better. Made. It was made better. It was not created better. It was made better. Something made him. Hallelujah. Something has power enough to make a man. Made him better than the angels. As he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. God proved over and over that Jesus is superior to angels. Praise God. He obtained a more excellent name. He has more authority than the angels. Because he orchestrated, he uses a higher throne than the angels. He has more authority than the angels. As it were, in all ideology, Christianity is the weakest and the most defenseless. I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Do you know how much wolves like to eat sheep? The best meal of wolves are sheep. The meat of sheep is sweet in the mouth of wolves. So it's like when you are saying if you put a sheep somewhere and a wolf is and you cage the sheep and you put a wolf around the, it will die rolling around the place, it will die. It's like my dog, my dog smell goat anywhere, goat or chicken anywhere, it will die there. One day we bought goat and put the goat in the store. We felt that and the night this goat was bleating. So he heard the voice of the goat. He will go mad until he broke. It was in the night that my neighbor heard the goat cry. I tell you, I don't know. You know. Some of these are that they are beasts. If I'm playing with the dog, it will run on the floor, but it's a beast. He has heard the goat on ears. Within that bleating time, we rush in there. The goat was gone. Because the smell of goat to eat, the smell of goat is the best meat for that kind of dog. You know, Rottweilers. So what I'm saying is that a Christian person is the best meat Satan is looking for. If he eats 10 unbelievers, it's not sweet in his mouth. Like God said, your adversary, the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom. It's not just adversary of the whole humanity. For believers, it's a special adversary. Yes, it's a very choice. How will he be able to look at Peter? Just said, Simon! Over the apostle. That's why when they saw the woman, when they saw her, the blood of all prophets were found in her. He likes prophets and apostles. And of saints, of all that they were slain upon the earth. So first class is the prophets. Saints are the next ratings of good meal. Satan desired you. Ah, Satan has just loved you. And he's to eat you. Jesus said, I've prayed for you. So when Jesus told him, when he was saying, go to lay down, Jesus said, you want it on? I do a long bedro. When they finish already. Praise God. So naturally, Christianity is nearly one of the most defenseless and vulnerable ideology. Yet it's mostly thriving against all odds. So if it's not, it's a good meal, but it can't eat easily. Somebody's edging the praise God. Somebody's edging you everywhere. That's why you don't break the fence. You don't break the edge. Because serpent is wanting to strike. You don't step out and just try it. You don't try it. Because you are edged around. Since you believe, you will be smelling. What's smelling? Righteousness. It's smelling over you. Praise God. So, describing him here, he said he was being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels he said, at any time, thou art my son, and this day have I begotten you. He never said I begot any angel. They're called son of God, but not begotten. They're not begotten. They could be adopted, but they're not begotten. They don't have the blood of God. They don't have the life of God. Say amen. Amen. They are still what they are. That's how you can see that many of the angels now, because of they're going to be part of the world to come, they have to calibrate them with our testimony. Go and check all the angels you see in the Revelation. They're angels of testimony. So without testimony, you can't function in the world to come. Say hey, amen. Yeah. That's a little sea. It's a little sea because ultimately, you know that this heaven and earth will pass away. You know that. For at the face of this, as the face of the throne, when the throne of God or the throne, the eternal throne, show up in the midst of creation, the eternal throne is not. It's not the throne that has been unveiled among creatures. The face has not been made known. The day the face is open, heaven and earth will fold up. This present heaven and earth will fold up. Because there's no material inside the present heaven and earth with all its righteousnesses that can withstand that face. So it will skip. And that will be the first of the unveiling of the new heaven and the new earth. Say amen. Amen. Once that throne shown up, the only thing that can abide it is the new heaven and the new earth. The house wherein dwelleth. Where dwelleth the kind of God's righteousness that is compliant with the throne, the eternal throne. Say amen. So that righteousness we are seeing Jesus Christ dovetail, move from Christ like that one and move to the world to come. It moved from Christ like that and moved that righteousness has a way of from that place move straight. God has a way of God actually broke that righteousness down into faces to become what a flesh can deal with. Normally a flesh can't relate with that righteousness. It's God's righteousness. It's because Christ. Say amen. Jesus as Christ. Because He used that righteousness and made it compliant to the Christ being. You understand that Christ has been before Jesus Christ came. I think you know that. There's been Christ before Jesus came. Christ, you see, is an everlasting being that has been in God. Praise God. So the prophet themselves, the Spirit of Christ was in them. You can see they are joining the wilderness. The Christ followed them. A rock followed them, and the rock was Christ. So it's not just they have seen physical rock, but it's the person behind the rock. So it's not just mere rock, a person is behind that rock movement. How will it that everywhere they go, they just see the same rock? A rock was following them. Say, hey man, it's Christ. But Jesus is the first man. That's the first flesh that Christ will be trapped in. That's the first man that became Christ. So that Christ now can be in the flesh. Or else, Christ is a spirit being that you cannot relate with. Only God can relate with it, depending on what God wants him to do. That's why he says, proceeding has been from everlasting to everlasting. Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, so thou be little among Judah. Out of you, these shall come forth. That person whose proceeding has been from everlasting to everlasting. So it's an everlasting being who has been proceeding. We don't know how many times God has moved out on the earth here for things to be done. So, okay? Am I in the house here? But the first time that being with dwelling flesh was in Christ Jesus. So it's called Jesus Christ. So he's the one who began to use that righteousness. But that righteousness span to the throne, span to eternity. It's a very high thing that no man could have used. But Jesus being, that's why forever we're going to worship Jesus. Are you in the house, please? Because nobody knew it. The Roman says, no, there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. Nobody go after God for God. Anybody you see seeking after God, seeking after God for something, could be for anointing, could be for authority, could be for anything. Nobody seeketh. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. He's talking about all creation, all creatures, none. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. So if you leave any creature, it will go out of the way. It can't use that way. It will go out of the way. But Jesus became the way. He trapped. Say amen. The first man that found what no man has ever found. Not what no man ever understood. You can't say, man, say, what are you looking for? I'm looking for righteousness. It doesn't make sense in the word of woman. Kill on what? More righteousness. And then righteousness, more hello, bad, don't say. You can't call where? Even in church today, say, as much as you see the scriptures, I say, you should follow after. You should pursue righteousness. You tell your friend, I just know I need to press the righteousness. All you will be thinking is how to be doing good. Maybe I've been doing something bad before. And this boy wants to improve in what he's doing. It's not about what you're doing, it's about who you are. It's the understanding of the realm of being. Doesn't have to do with what you do, it's about who you are. As the word of understanding, that's why no one understand that. No one seeketh after God. They have all gone out of the way, and they are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth the good that is that's in righteousness. No, not one. No, not one. But I said, Noah, say, are you here with Noah? Is a preacher of righteousness. What did he preach? He preached a righteousness. Leave it to him, not this righteousness. No one had ever been able to seek this righteousness. If Noah got that, he was pleased enough. And thanking God, he found something. Say, amen. Yeah. If Noah, if Abel, all of these people find something, they are ever glad that they found something that fell out of God. The way to this world was known by no man. So how did Jesus, what did he wake up to? What exactly? I say, how do you calibrate a man's life from babyhood? And the child grew and wax strong in spirit. Where every child is sucking breast and building muscle. When you carry your own baby, you'll be happy. See his cheek. Ah, his cheek has grown. My baby has gone from 3.2 kilo to 3.6. Sweetheart, I was in the hospital today. I just came back. Baby is already 3.8. And that's not joy. But somebody there calibrating his own life in the spirit. So every single moment of this child life was in the spirit. It was in a world new by no man. No man. No man. Nobody was looking for what he was looking for. He was like a strange man on the earth here. If he's an old man like Abraham, we'll say, you know what he's looking for. What's the child looking for? That at 12, you can say, I found a business. I found a good man. If a 12-year-old boy they say, I found a good man in the robotic world, they will say he's a genius. How can a 12-year-old man find a good man and the righteousness of God? That's why outside Jesus, you are gone. Oh, you have no hope. You are gone. Yeah. I'm telling you. It doesn't matter what effort you put in there. Every step you take will be off. Every step you take will be off. And will be advantage to your enemy. Yeah. Because the enemy, you know, the devil knows. He knows when you are off the road. Because you are more available for him. You are within his radar. So every effort you make as a man is a wrong effort. In fact, if you are in the world and you are within the scope of the enemy's, when he knows that he has you anytime, you are safer. But then when he sees that you are making effort, and the effort is in the flesh, it's human effort. It's not effort that has found help of God. It's not effort that has been discovered, has been approved of God. Not effort that has been tested and been used. And has been found to be potent to deal with the enemies of man. Say amen. So, righteousness is power. It's God's power. That's why I say righteousness is exalted. It's a force. It's a force. It's power. It's God's ability. That's why it's a driver of what is called grace. Anywhere you find righteousness, you're going to find grace there. It means power that you cannot generate it by yourself. When you say something is grace, say amen. It means by yourself you can't generate it. Now, there are things you can generate by yourself that's also a kind of gift. If you're a brilliant person, are you here today, please? If you're a brilliant person, for example, it's not your making. And anyway, your brilliance is a test of just a part of your, it's just a part of your being, of your even, of your even, of your even intelligence. It's just one part of it, and that is not for a man to feel like I'm superior. When you're walking on the road, just like he say, they don't know what I know. You don't know what you don't know, you know. You will sit down, you'll be reveling like that one. You don't know, people don't know what I know. It's true you know something, but there are too many things you don't also know. And the things you don't know, you will suffer for. The ones you don't know, you will suffer. Even in the human world, even live kingdom, on natural life matter, what you don't know, you will suffer for it. You will suffer, you will pay hard for it. You know, sometimes you have every money, you have every money to buy everything. But sometimes you don't have the money to buy a relationship. So you don't value it. You don't value that brother in your house, for example. You are feeding him. It's true, you are feeding him, you are helping him, all of that. But it's also a gift of grace around you. There are things you cannot see that he will see. Does that God design it? So nobody is an highlight to himself. They have made you handicap somewhere. Today they have changed you to what have you changed you to today? It's no more handicap, it's a challenge. Challenge. So does he have challenge? But even in the challenge, you are gifted in a way. And that gives his grace. There are people that, as I'm talking now, they can pick 50 scriptures. They just add that wire. But with that wire, they may not have my understanding. So as I appreciate the grace to the wire, they will ensure that they are also in adequate somewhere. You have to lack somewhere. So you can appreciate the distribution of gift and grace. And that's why you have to just appreciate yourself. Okay, come and appreciate yourself. Eh? Just by natural endowment has gifted you in a way that you are a gift and you are a grace. But remember, that's the thing you call gift and grace. Cannot add to the value of your human life. It can't change your nature. It can't change your person. It can only make you better. Somebody collaborate with you and get something better result for you. Better, but your person has not changed. It takes righteousness, which is of God, that has the power to alter your nature. Always a sinner will die a sinner. The true righteousness of God, sins are forgiven. He that knew no sin was made sin, that you that is a sinner could be made. So something has the power to make you what God approved as right. Say amen. Amen. Are you with me in the house there today? I'm just trying to let us know that what Jesus Christ brought for us is when they call it righteousness of God, they also put it on its label. It's called the righteousness of Jesus. When you go to the scripture, they will say faith of Jesus, faith of Christ. They are trying to describe a kind of faith. That's why faith is not faith. I think you know that. Faith is not faith. Anybody can, it's a faith anybody can have access to. The faith by the financial woman, the faith by the centurion, and they were all appreciated faith. They could get some things done, but they can't give life. They can't take away sin. But yet they have access to get interventions that Jesus will say, "You already got it. Just go. You got it. No, you already have it." With having that, they can't have forgiveness of sin. You couldn't offer with that faith, "Are we in the house, please?" to say your sins are forgiven. Can you see that? So they can access many other benefits from God, from Jesus, but they can't access the benefit of forgiveness of sin until a day comes somebody believe on the Lord Jesus. And just by faith say, "I believe Jesus is the Christ. Jesus died for sin. Jesus is the Son that God sent." That the man will believe that, and that moment something, sir, will happen to that man's spirit. A dead man in the spirit will come alive from the grave. Say amen. To know what power is in such thing, a man is moved from that same moment from another world, a world to another world, just by simple faith. Does not look as if it's as potent as the faith of a Syrophoenician woman. Doesn't look like it. You believe on the Lord Jesus, I believe. Looks so simple. Doesn't look powerful. So say, begin to forgive. Mention your sins. Mention them. Say, "God, I am wrong. That does not still forgive your sin. Lord, I'm wrong. Say repentance. Repentance is supposed to be part of the faith in the Lord Jesus. Repentance is not designed for a dead man. Repentance is designed for a Jewish man. It's a Jewish man that needs repentance. You don't preach repentance to a Gentile man. A Gentile man has no place. He's dead. Jewish man has a place in Abraham. So he has Abraham's faith. Are we in the house, please? So a Jewish man, for example, he has to repent. He has to repent for not believing in the God of Abraham, who raised himself from the dead. So when you see the beginning of the scripture in Acts of the Apostle, "Repent and be baptized." He's talking to Jews. Immediately the gospel moved from Jewish world to Gentile world. It's believe on the Lord Jesus. Is that why you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ now that you can start repenting from dead works? Can you see now? Repent from dead works? Faith towards God. So mentioning how sinful you have been. I'm bad, Lord. In fact, I've been so bad. He said, I've been so bad. I don't know why I'm so bad like this one. It's so bad that in fact, I don't know what pushed me to this point. I'm so bad. Does not have power to change your spirit. But simply, "I believe on the Lord Jesus." What shall I do to be saved? Say, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." And that's the moment the jailer believed and was baptized. That thing that happened to him was righteousness. That, say amen. Yeah. Believing in the Lord Jesus is righteousness. It's God's righteous procedure to move a dead man from the realm of death to life. It's God's prescription. So you can call righteousness prescription. Say amen. What God prescribed. It's not what man prescribed. And that's why God dis Peter. God dissed him. You know, it was the first one that lowered the sheet, the four-footed beast to kill and hit. He said, Lord, since I believe this, my mouth has never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Not once. He had enough boldness to say, not so, Lord. So in it was the Lord who was talking. So you can say, a Jewish man who has been founded on the righteousness. Not so, Lord. So Jesus only confirmed. Because by allotment, it is Peter that should assess the next allotment. But to confirm that you are a Jewish man, you cannot. You have already eaten of righteousness. You have not ready to unclothe yourself. And they moved that to Paul. They went to Tarsus. You can look for one Paul of Tarsus. A man that was a perjured man. Dangerous man. Injurious. Blasphemer. Everything bad to extreme. It's not just bad to extreme. Blasphemer. Terrorist. Bandit leader. Injurious. Persecutor. More bad grammar. They obtained mercy. Because I did all of that ignorantly in unbelief. And in the word of light, they believe that Saul was an elite. That's why I don't let people's learning deter you from talking to them. Even if you're not a professor, there's nothing there. There are a lot of ignorance there. I'm telling you. I talked to some group, which I said, don't fear anybody, respect them. They have their disease in their body. Plenty. All those things is cover up. It's a cover up. Your problem is within your body. Say, hey, man. And Jesus went for that man to prove the potency of righteousness. For what grace? Because according to the strength of righteousness is in the quality of grace. Let me explain this way. Righteousness is a driver of power. There's a power attached to every righteousness. For the law, what it can drive is very small in terms of power to change a thing. That's why under the law, sins were covered. Are you in the house, please? What I say, sins were covered. That thing has no power to remit sin. It can't touch soul nature and delete sin. No matter how much you try to make them do over and over again, doesn't have the power to do that. So the power generated there is very low. So sin can use the power and work stronger. I'll give an example. You want to handle sudden infections, and you use some antibiotics. At the point when you begin it, it will look as if it didn't just go away. But because the antibiotics is not designed with power to deal with that, maybe it's not specific to that kind of infection, it will harass the infection. But the power inside of it is not strong enough to destroy the infection. So the infection will develop resistance against it. So sometimes it makes the latter end of that man worse. Are you in the house there, please? So that's how sudden righteousness are. You do them, they have no power for a change. For example, the things we do in our moral changes, moral changes we try to do. I won't talk anymore. I'll try not to behave this way anymore. You bring a cord around you to try to undo the things that are troubling your soul. You know, at that moment you feel relieved. Feel a sense of, yeah, I got it. The worst is that when you change environment, you find that you lack power to respond. I went to the house, that's what happened. When you are a village man, for example, and you go to Lagos or go to a city like this one, you have not seen fine girls before. You know what I'm saying? So your moral thing can handle the two fine girls in your village. And you're going to feel like, oh, man, oh, God is helping my life. God is helping my life. Are you doing the house this? You just get to a place where everywhere you look, a fine girl is there. Like I was playing with him today. I said, your girls, I mean their wives, are looking fine. I see the girls, you are taking care of the guests now. Your guests are looking fine now. Say, hey, man. I mean that husbands are taking care of their wives more, okay? When I say girlfriend, I mean your wives. Praise God. Can you appreciate all the husband in the house? Your wives are there, your first mirror. If you're not taking care of them, you're not looking fine now, that you are failing already. They are looking older every day. You're looking older every day, and you are failing. Praise God. So you get in a world where everywhere you turn, everywhere is looking fine. You find out that moral compass you used before just loses power. Becomes weak. That's why the rant your mentality won't shake. Hey, you know that? Oh, man, it's all the quarrel. Toba. When you get to Chicago, sir. You just find that in for 1 week, you'll be remembering. But after 1 month, you will find that the thing will be losing its strength. You know what I'm saying now? And why? Because those moral things have no strength. They have little strength, but the little strength is too small concerning what they have to combat. So every right, even that woman righteousness has a measure of strength, but the strength could be so small that it can empower unrighteousness more within you. You just find that the guy's got worse. This guy was not this way before now. What happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? It's just got worse. It's because he has met something stronger than himself. Say, hey, amen. Are you in the house there, please? So that's God's prescription to deal with unrighteousness. So when it's given as a gift to start with, that's why it's not enough to run with the gift. You now need to have knowledge or understanding of righteousness or revelation of righteousness that goes from the first to his last until life is given. The journey of righteousness until he gives life. Say, hey, amen. Now I'm going to explain that to you. Everything we talk about the gospel in terms of knowledge, understanding, wisdom, all of that are all journey in the revelation of righteousness. There's a time when you have access to the revelation of righteousness, which is just knowledge. I want to ask this. It means you are aware. But being aware does not see deliver enough life or deliver grace, enough grace to you to live that righteousness. Are you doing the house, please? You find that you may have to hear and hear and hear and hear until you start adding the law of righteousness, which is also knowledge at another level. Law, Romans chapter 8, let's go to chapter 8 of Romans. Sorry. Am I really with you tonight? There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It is those who walk not. Who walk not. Who doesn't take dictates after the flesh, but after the Spirit, or after righteousness, or after the law. Righteousness here now is talking about law. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. But before you receive law, you must receive knowledge. Knowledge, say amen. Yeah. Knowledge, or I'm talking about revelation. Or what we call precepts. Are you with me, please? Which we read this morning, lay up his word in thy heart and receive his law. Can you see? So, I pray the law, receive the law from his mouth and lay up his word in thy heart. Is, like we say, is the inverted. It is law, it is knowledge in your heart first that brings law in your heart. So you have to lay up knowledge. When you are laying up knowledge, you does not need look as if you are receiving grace. If anybody here will just say, it's just yearning, it's not knowledge, it's yearning, it's just not, it's not yearning. But all of us has to begin from knowledge. If you despise knowledge, you can never assess the gift of righteousness, which is by understanding. So, hey man, it's what you have knowledge of that you can understand. And that's how grace is committed. That's how grace is delivered. Grace is the communication of power that comes by righteousness. When you do righteousness, it gives you the power of grace. By grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So when you say you believe Jesus, what happens? They give you righteousness. But what really changes you is grace. So the currency that righteousness use is grace. What did I say, please? Okay, so it's grace. So anytime you respond to righteousness, what you assess is grace. It's grace. If you keep on responding to grace, you will assess the life at the end of grace. Every grace will deliver the promise of life to you. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Say amen. What did I say, please? Every grace will deliver the promise of life to you. So life is at the end of a grace. Revelation, when revelation comes to you, grace comes at the end of that revelation. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Praise the name of the Lord. So it means that when you respond to righteousness, you are triggering the power of grace. But grace does not show up, because grace is power. It may not show up when you start with knowledge. When you start laying up, it doesn't look as if you have any power. Nothing seems to be is at work. You can't see effect of what you are learning, what you are hearing. So you hear and hear and hear and hear. Then faith coming by hearing and hearing. Can you see that? So hearing and hearing does not mean that when I hear now, I will hear. No. There's a hearing and hearing progression that they watch over for grace to come, or for faith to come. But when faith comes, grace comes. End time faith. Faith comes, not your faith. The faith he gave through his knowledge. When that faith comes, faith comes. So faith actually is the life that comes. When that thing comes, grace comes. But we have to go through hearing process. When you are hearing, look as if I'm just hearing this thing. I'm just hearing this thing. Say, keep on hearing the message. Once you hear the message with a sense of faith, believe it. When I say faith, no, the belief sense in your heart. Because you believe in what is spoken. Then you're already enacting that law within you for grace to come. Along the line, just find out this thing. You don't know when you even let that in. You don't know when that change came. But when grace changed, when grace comes, power to do. It is he that is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's why hearing is the beginning. You have to hear. That's why they ordained ministers to make you hear. Our father here will not stop talking. It's a commandment to talk. You would think he's enjoying to talk. No. It's commandment to talk so that faith can come. It's when you hear that you can have access to faith, and it's then you can have access to grace. So I'm only saying that grace is the currency that righteousness brings. What did I say, please? Come on, say it again. Come on, say it again. But you have to travel through his journey. So, not revelation or knowledge is a form of righteousness. It's the beginning of righteousness or work of righteousness. When you say, I'm hearing God's word, I'm knowing God's word, I'm letting God's word in my heart, you are doing righteousness. That's righteousness. But that's a prescription of God for those who want to access grace or access life. If you don't do it and you are praying, Lord, change me, change me, change me, change me, nothing will happen. God, the prescription for grace is not by prayer. So you find a place like this one, but you're from a church where everything that happened to your life is prayer. Oluwa, yopada, yopada, baba, yopada, eh, baba, yopada. You can feel in that prayer of yopada. And what you were praying about, 5 minutes time, you have done it again. And when you prayed, you were serious. When we were school in those days, they told of a story. I don't know if it was a real story or a concord story about a brother and a sister who were in a relationship. And they just found that they're getting attracted to themselves. You know, days of ignorance is very, very bad. And so they felt. So along the line, they fell into sin. And they came and said, this is bad. This is bad. We need to pray about it. We need to pray about it. In fact, we need to add fasting to the prayer. So they prayed, they fasted for 3 days. And they prayed fire prayer. But the third day, they broke it with another sex. So when you are in that trouble, you don't fast. You run for help. Because you could be helped by hearing faith, but them can deceive you by you just start to hear and stop hearing. So you need an oversight that will put you under supervision to see that you have heard enough. Oh, that meeting. Why attend that meeting? That book, go and read that book. It's to empower you. Which is if you then leave it to you yourself, you don't know what to do. So power of grace is beyond your ability. It's what God gives by his own righteous prescription. So if you love Jesus, you embrace his prescription. If you are here, you love Jesus, you will believe that somebody can say, I believe Jesus, I believe now. And you will say, yeah. Can we pray, receive the Holy Ghost? Can you receive the Holy Ghost? If you don't believe that, you feel like, oh, this guy that just believed now. If you don't know that guy, he's a smoker. That guy needs sanctification. Enjoyment of the Holy Ghost. Enjoyment of the Holy Ghost. What are you using? You are using another righteousness. So the righteous prescription tells you how to access grace. And you must believe it. And that's what God showed to Cornelius. Having not done anything as it were, the Lord decided to give him the Holy Ghost like he gave them on the upper room. God doesn't repeat it like that all the time. But so that there won't be any altar of doubt in Peter's heart. Peter said, you were not there. Oh, see, Benny. The same way it fell on us. The same way was the same way. And they didn't send it to anybody. They sent it to Peter himself. He came back and gave it to tell them that God is no respecter, I perceive, of a truth. What is of a truth? He's talking, he's saying of God's righteousness. That truth is talking about righteous standard. I pass that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh or do requirement of righteousness is accepted with him. So God did that by giving them the Holy Ghost. That's why today, doesn't matter how holy you are in your holiness movement, God will surprise you many times. Yes. Those people you think that the worst sinner in your department, he will give them Holy Ghost. But we will go backslide, they will give them Holy Ghost. insert your theology. That your eye, that eye you use to select people, it will tell you that I go after how man looketh. God looketh not after. Not the way man looks. It looks on the heart. On the heart. And God, every heart knows his state. You can't use picture and posture to determine how right a man is. And that's how the gospel is. So the gospel does not go on natural, what you see. No, it negates it. It goes straight to heart. If you believe, he that believeth unto righteousness. Can you see? You believe in your heart. If you can believe in your heart that God has raised from the dead, and you confess with thy mouth that God, if you believe in the heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it means the man can't get to salvation until he keep believing unto righteousness. Unto righteousness. So righteousness will be revealed. Amen. Amen. God's standard of right will be revealed as it is in his son. When you believe it, you access grace. Say amen. Amen. Now, I'm just the foundation of what I have to say. Let me go quickly to what I've said. Because when it comes to issue of dealing with thrones, you need abundance of grace. That's why every saint has advantage when you start by grace. Especially when you move to the realm of grace, grace that comes by Christ. Say amen. Yeah. Which Peter called our precious faith. Like precious faith. That's what Peter called that faith. Say amen. Amen. Like precious faith. That's what all the epistles recommend. Grace and peace to you. Say amen. Amen. Grace and peace. That's all those letters are righteousness revelation. And what should they bring? They should bring grace and peace. So it means that when you go through all those writing of Paul, what you get from them is grace. Say amen. Amen. Which means that you can start from knowledge. Are you with me, please? From knowledge to what? To law. From law to obeying law or keeping the law. From that, arriving at the peace of the law, agree with the law, doing the law, say amen. Then arriving at obedience of righteous requirement of the law. Because for every time God teaches, He gives reasons to obey. For example, if you are somebody who is used to strive or used to ignoring people, you see that when they want to teach you doctrine, they will instruct you against the actions you give. They'll go after. They won't say, oh, forgive him. No. They will say, go and tell him you are forgiven. Go and tell him I love you. No, it's easier to go away and say I forgive him. It's easier to say. But the power of that sin won't be broken. You won't access grace to break it. So when they say, go and meet him and say, I'm sorry. That requires obedience. You know, find that it is more difficult for you. It's easier for you to say, he's forgiven, than go to be that person. You have to say that. Are we in the house, please? So when you obey righteousness, you have broken into realm of grace. Because grace is attached to obedience. Each time you obey, you access grace. Am I in the house, please? So they won't allow you to go the way you want to fulfill that righteousness. They won't allow you to go it. They'll keep on giving instructions. Instructions of righteousness. Say amen. They will even issue commandments. You know that in the order of the program of God's word coming to us, one of the last phases of the word coming to us is when they give commandments. I think you know that. Say amen. Amen. If you read all the epistles, you see epistles with revelation. Then at the end of the revelation, they start giving commandment and instruction. So the last lap of learning or the learning righteousness, the last lap, you know that instruction also is righteousness. They call it instruction in righteousness. Say amen. Amen. Commandments also are in righteousness. Judgments are in righteousness. All of them are righteous procedure. When Jesus said to John said, come and baptize me. Jesus said, So it becomes fulfilling of the complete righteous procedure. For everything to be dealt with, that's a righteous procedure. I will the house this. So it means sometimes it's not just by one doing one thing. They will take you through. So that baptizing is one of the procedure that Jesus Christ need to meet for them to be able to announce him. If he has not fulfilled, so that one, if he has missed that, he has broken the procedure. I'm saying that. Say amen. Amen. So it becometh us to fulfill all righteous procedure. So there's righteous actions, a long line of righteous procedures. You know what I'm saying now? Are we in the house, please? So it involves pastor saying, go and pray about it. That's instruction in righteousness. If you don't do that, you won't access the grace to deal with that problem. So, in the end of it are commandments and instruction. All scriptures is given by the Spirit of God, thank you, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Doctrine is knowledge. Okay? For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto good works. So a man will not be perfect to produce result if he does not assess the process like this. So in most of the things, it will end up with commandments and instruction. So if you say you, I love revelation, I love learning the law of God, even love the Spirit. If you falter at the point of commandments, you have broken righteous procedure. I don't know if you get what I'm saying now. So every time doctrine is taught, it's attached to the commandments. I told them on Wednesday, I said, go and check the scriptures and find out that when you learn faith, faith has its commandments. When you say you learn faith of Christ, the end of the commandment of faith is charity. So it means that if you learn commandment of faith, you should end up in charity, right? You should have to weigh your commandment you have learned to see if you are a charitable person. Do you still find it easy to suffer long? If you're not suffering long, it means that your faith training has problem, right? So faith training should end up as certain things being seen in your life. Praise God. Now, if you're not suffering long, can you now say, I want to suffer long? No. They will return you back to the right, to the procedure of faith. They will show you the way of faith. So you can't adjust them at the end, because they are all product of the whole process. I want to be patient. No, you can't be patient. You can't just be patient like that one. Patient is a process. Add to your faith what? Virtue. To virtue what? To knowledge what? To temperance what? To patience what? Godliness. So for a man to get to godliness, it's a journey. Oh, I want to be godly. Once you say I want to be godly, they will take you back to faith knowledge and start chasing you down there so you can attend to godliness. So you can't jump at them. Say hey, amen. To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. What does this say next? For if these things be in you and abound, they do what? They make you. So if they are in you and they don't abound, what happened? You're not made. But they are in you. So, bringing forth change. I'm going to say, bringing forth change is not as simple as that. Say amen. Most of the time in our life, most change that came to our life, we didn't know how it came. Because it went through this procedure without us knowing it. You just came to church, you were just burning your heart. I need this message. I love this message. And if you don't respond by the Spirit to the message, following the procedure, and change start coming. If you don't know how it happens, it's possible you get the place and get stagnated. That's why the apostles now wrote it, so for you to know how it happened. So now, so we get a point now. I'm not really. It's like I'm not really changing. What has happened to me? If you understand, you know that. Am I hearing? Am I believing? Am I obeying instructions? Am I obeying commandments? If you are, you are in process. Your change will come. So it's not by human effort. It's by following righteous procedure. What I explain, is it clear to you? Say amen. So when the change came, what happened? Grace was given. The thing went through his circle. And the circle will release grace. Power to change. Just find that ability to do that thing, just come. Wow. Because as we move more into the things, as we grow more, things that happen in our life by without understanding, we start increasing. Things that happen, I know that when we're younger, things happen in our life without understanding. When you grow up, things will be happening because now you know. So let's see 2 Peter. As well as 2 Peter. Say amen. 2 Peter. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge. Because grace and peace came to you through knowledge, which you may not really be aware of. Say amen. That knowledge means it's intimate knowing. It takes time to intimately know that this is the way of life. It takes time. Without you being forced. Sometimes in church, they give instructions, you just barely agree with it. Why? You don't know what the instructions is meant to do. I will the house list. But as you, because you believe in authority, some things you do because you believe in them help you in other areas. Sometimes you just respect the church, respect what pastor says. You don't like him, but when he said it, I have no choice. I have to agree with it. That thing you did is an obedience. It's not every time the thing will sound well to you. If I say, let's stay at the 12th now. Somehow you just say, what exactly have we not heard in this whole thing now? Is it today we will finish the message? At least we still have tomorrow. Prayer is coming. But at the way that thing is going on, sometimes you just say, what? We are already here. That Lord renew to be. So as the thing hits you sometimes and hits you here and there, it also hits everybody. But what is the difference is the response of heart. Response of heart. Oh, I believe in the leadership. If they say it, even if I don't understand, I go with it. And sometimes that's the saving. You don't like it. If they find you, you don't like it. But that thing, that position of authority there has just helped you. Along the line, just find that grace to know what they are saying will just come. So he's saying that if grace and peace came through righteousness, it was righteousness. All the teachings of Revelations in everything is righteousness. So righteousness is a big board of a process, okay? Say amen. Once you know righteousness, you will handle knowledge, wisdom, understanding. You undo judgment. All of them are all righteousness. You undo statutes. They are all righteousness. This thing I'm talking about now, I'm telling you, just this year, God just opened my eyes to His. To understand it. Sometimes it can look like, you know, I'm not parking anybody. Talking about a law, talking about a covenant, talking about testimony. But I'm going to cross from this to this. Why would I cross from this to this? No, just follow righteous revelation. When you are driving a car, when you put your leg on the throttle, you don't know where it moves from 1 to 2. When it gets to its peak there, it just switch. Just switch. Oh, it has moved. You know it has moved. But when it will move, you don't know it. As I sometimes you want to move, you don't move. We don't want to change, it's not changing. Oh, oh. Can you see that? Yes, and sometimes, oh, oh. Are you with me in the house, please?
Yes, sir.
So you see, in all the laws, you see them mentioning, you know, you take, you obey this commandment, this judgment, this that testimony, this statutes, all of that. They mention all of that in all the law. Do not say which one of the law is commandment. Are we in the house, please? Which one is statutes? Really speaking, they all have their nature. They all have their rhythm there as either righteousness, which is knowledge. Are we in the house, please? Which is revelation, or righteousness, which is understanding, or which is statutes, which is judgment, which is commandment. All of them are righteousness. So the spirit who knows that you need to get life knows how to bring which one you need per time. You don't have to go out, I'm looking for judgment. Don't look for anything. Just be in the spirit. That's why it is the voice of the spirit that tell us our movement in the spirit. Yes, on these words.
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
So when the voice comes, the voice brings what he knows you need.
Yes,
to your heart is righteous demand.
Yes, sir.
It's righteous demand. They put it as a demand. But that demand can be a statute they want to raise in you. Say amen.
Amen.
That's why all together they are called righteousness. It's righteousness all together. That's Psalm 19. Say amen.
Amen.
Let's see that place. Let's see that place quickly, please. Hallelujah. Are we going together, please?
Yes,
I just feel as you come this way. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is perfect. Converting the soul. So actually, you see, they start referring to knowledge, or to word from the law.
Yeah.
But it doesn't start from the law. It starts from knowledge.
Say
amen.
Yeah.
It starts from knowledge. But where they can't, that knowledge has begun to make impact in your life,
right,
is when it becomes law to your heart.
Yes.
So if you don't arrive at law in knowledge, you have not followed where? Knowledge is key.
Yes.
But law is a major junction in seeking knowledge.
Wow.
It must convey law to your heart. Say amen.
Amen.
It is law that converts.
The soul.
That converts the soul.
Wow.
Or it is law that changes your soul nature. Or your soul response. When you say you are spiritually minded, it's law that make it. If you don't have law, you can't be spiritually minded.
Yeah.
They have to install the law of Christ in the soul for you to be spiritually minded. Or else you'll do spiritual things once in a while. It won't be what you do normally or what your heart wants to do normally.
Yeah.
Thus, you can't be spiritual if you are not minded of it.
Yeah.
If it's one thing you do once in a while, you can't be spiritual. You can't change. You know, in the other faith process, you can do your faith, you can sow seed, then you seed at some dangerous time. It may not be what you do every day. Are we in the house, please?
Yes,
and you will just catch the season of that soul. Sow it, you get it. Wow! And what you get there can change your status.
Yeah.
It's being responded to the hour of the faith demand.
Yeah.
But in spiritual change, you can't do it when you want it.
No. You have to follow
the process.
Yeah.
Process is that you are minded for the change.
Yeah.
I want to ask this. So it cannot be like that. We just enjoy the revelation. It's not revelation. No, no, no. Are you hearing the revelation with a sense?
Yes, sir.
With a sense of commitment?
Yes, sir.
That's where it can switch to become law.
Law to you. to you. Lord to you. What to hear should be Lord to you. Should be Lord to you. You hear it, your heart is following what he's saying. You are hearing it again and again. It's coming after you. It means it's coming law. Praise God. Because what it's meant to do is to change. Conversion. To convert flesh to spirit is conversion. Flesh is a life. If you live that way, he will live it that 100 years. It's not asking for anything. The odoro complisa. That's flesh. So for a man to change from flesh to spirit is conversion. I said, I made a bad conversion some 2 years ago at home when I bought a generator. I bought a generator, and so they made that advert. I said, your generator now can use gas. I did a bad market. I bought that gen for close to 1 million. And we're only looking at the way fuel is going. And they were making the advert. Conversion, conversion, conversion. I don't know, it's only love, the spirit that can convert properly. If they have made it for fuel, please use your fuel. If that's what they made it for, use fuel. I mean, use your fuel. Or sell it, go and buy another one. It's only the law of Christ that can convert it. So, praise God. So, I brought the man who they say is in the company. Their agent, he came with machine. You know those people have got machine, just this machine, brought things out. I was expecting in 15 minutes that I would see a new generator. Just saying, on the thing, the sound changed. I saw him, I came back after 1 hour, I saw him was sweating. I knew he was in trouble. I'm not the only one in trouble, all of us are in trouble. Praise God. So from there, I was afraid of conversion. On the I saw that it is the Lord that can convert it. So don't try to make it so spiritual. Don't try to make. You will make an hypocrite. And that's why those who suffer that the most, our children. Our children, we put them under prayer. And so they behave it. The Lord warned me many years. Said, so when the thing pain me, I walk away. I'll go and think of what to do. Sometimes I will send, these are my mysteries. I will send the, for some things I cannot get from them. I need them mysteries to get them. Yes. Yes. No matter how much you shout, you won't get them. They won't say it. But once I say Pastor Dixon, I'm sure he will come back with the facts. Yes. Amen. Amen. They are the priests of those souls. They just want to call and say, and what I've been struggling with to hear, I will hear detail. I said, what is this magic? What Napoleon cannot do? Say amen. So please, you need those MSTs in your household, though. Yes, man of God. Yes, Reverend has escaped. He has a fine girl. That was all was. Oh, when you if handle boys. Amen. If you want to do boys, you need anointing. And that anointing is the corporate anointing. No two eyes can see them. You need many eyes. Four living creatures. One of the people just say, is there nothing we can just do in this house that will be hit? It's so easy to act. Is there no more anything we can do in this house? But every eyes everywhere, I pluck eyes everywhere. So I will leave the house. They don't know I've left ice in the house. Hallelujah. Say hey, man. So we learn every day. I just learn not to shout. I just learn not to shout. Yes. And when you shout, they withdraw.
Yes, sir.
Just learn not to shout. Just swallow it. Just swallow it. Don't shout. Because you won't hear anybody. Everybody will change character quickly. That they have shouted. If mommy shout, they don't care about mommy shout.
Yes,
but that is shout. It's like a roaring lion. Praise God. Oh my, oh my, oh my. So we're looking at this. So this testimony of the Lord is sure. Make it wise is simple. So testimony also is right.
Yes.
It's right. The statutes of the Lord are right. We just in the heart. Commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Are you there with me, please? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. So they are all righteousness. So when they go through that process of once they soul go through that all the process, righteousness is being registered upon that soul. And it's registered by grace. It means grace is available for the heart. Say amen.
Amen.
I went to the house today, so I was reading that second Peter there. So Peter was talking about if you want grace and peace to be multiplied now, you have to go through the same route.
Yes.
The same route. Grace and peace multiply unto you. True knowledge of God is still knowing Jesus more.
Yes.
You need to know Jesus more.
Yes, sir.
There's a part of him which is actually constrained in his reign. Because in the showing of Jesus, it's also packed as like a rain. It's coming like a rain. Both the former rain and the latter rain. I'm saying now, it's packed. That's how it comes to the soul. So, hey man, the heart cannot receive all the rain at the same time. So they allocate to the heart season of rain. So the heart can take the rain. Say, hey man, be ye glad. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given to you former rain moderately. And it will cause to come down for you the rain. Then the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. That's the last one. So it will come to you with rain, former rain moderately. It will come with the real rain, the rain, which is it's called teacher of righteousness, that will teach you really righteousness, that will make you know righteousness. You need to know this procedure of righteousness. You need to understand it. Say, hey, man. Because you are going to move to a season where grace will abound. And you can't command grace to abound. You can't command it. There are templates of grace supply. Just say, Lord, I want grace to abound. No, you can't pray grace abound. No. They will take you through procedures that will make grace come. Because now grace needs to reign. Say amen.
Amen.
And grace cannot reign if grace does not abound. So it has abound through righteousness unto eternal life. So the place of understanding of this is necessary when we start moving towards the reign. When we start moving towards everlasting life. You can't but understand how grace abounds. You must understand how if yes. You know, let's call grace. Let's give it a figure. Is it grace is like 10, 20? Are we in the house, please? 30, 40? Like that. So you also talk about measure, stature, fullness, okay? So it can be 30, 60, 100. Say hey, amen. Now to move from 30 to 60, sir, it's not simple. You can be on 30 for a long time. And we are going to 28, 31, 32. You go back to 29, 30, 31. You go back to 27.
Yeah.
And then when I was you know, I did jam for a long time. Jam me very well. That's why you want to do jam to score very high score. These days, the guys just score 350 these days. I say, wow, the Lord is good in these days. In those days, when you see 10,000 that will do jam, pick something like medicine, when you say 30 on there, maybe you're going to count four. Bulk, 280. Very plenty, 270. Cutoff can be 251. And you score 250. When they check your difference, say it's just one mark. When you get there, you just find out that somebody's on, somebody cut off somebody at 150. Your home is on 270. By yourself, you go back home. You know that one matters. Nobody will tell you.
One matters.
Just one can give you 150 difference. You know, those they paste it. They paste paper. They will paste that. They paste 40 papers. Cut off stop on 8. Just one man can put you on paper 14. Then you go back next year. Say next year. You just think that next year you got 245. You think he has a problem? You know, I'm old in this business. So when I see young people, they say, first jam, please use it. Don't be proud. Please use it. I beg you, use your first jam. Sir, I will witness here. I say, please, I beg you, use the first one.
Thank you, sir. You can wait for 5 years.
To change you for, to get 20 more marks, you can stay 5 years. But it's not easy to increase your IQ. It's not easy. You have to be going on. Amen. Say, he said, it's zoo. Go and do zoo. Start the zoo. You won't go to zoo, but start the zoo. Next year, I can do it again, please, but start the zoo, please. But me, I know how many years I spent. So I discovered, sir, that when you see the apostles talking about being diligent to make your calling and election sure. From charity to fervent charity, it look close, but it's two words apart. It's two words apart. God will have to, either by the ministry of the grace around you or whatever, give you an impetus to change your response. To move you from charity to fervent charity. So you don't assume it. You can be on that place for a long time. Just go back a little bit. Come close to it. Go back a little bit. Come close to it. Go back a little bit. So, 2 Peter, I believe that God gave Peter grace to let people know the procedure of righteousness that can make the grace that's called Christ to abound enough for entrance to the everlasting kingdom. Today you find God helping our parents teach you about temperance, teach you about patience, all of that. It's part of the skill of grace that God gave to them so that they can make that pathway more easy to cross. Because you know, after you have gone through the whole process, they will say you need, after you have done it's the will of God for Christ for you to attend to charity. It's the will of God. But after you have done the will of God, you may still need more patience. So they are the one who determines when you are ready. It's not you that determine it. Why?
They want it to be your being. Yes. A thing that is in your being, you don't rush out of it. Yes. When you enjoy a profession, say, hey, man, yes. It's when you do first degree chemistry. That's when you want to do the final exam and never to read big book in your life. I swear. If I still care. But you can't read nursing and be swearing like that one. Yes. It's a profession. Yeah. You can only rest for a moment. You carry your book again. You can't read law. I want to run like that. No. As long as I said, you're going to practice. You need to learn more, know more, yeah. Learn more, know more, learn more. That's what they call it, learned fellows. It's a word of learning. Say amen. Amen. So everything that has to do with that conversion is inheriting a nature. And there's a grace for natures to be inherited. That's what I'm saying. Praise God. I went to the house to get a place. So, because when you move to the realm of the Father or the realm of the everlasting, grace ministration becomes vital for movement. There's no progress you make without accessing grace. That's why for Jesus, they say he tasted grace by tasted death by the grace of God. There's nothing he did without. He must find grace first. In such world, if you taste death without grace, you will die completely. Nothing will happen. You don't assume that I will die with resurrection. You don't assume it. It's not experiment, sir. You know, the Bible says he died oku giver. So, you know what they think? He died completely. Oku giver. And he died completely. So it's not an experiment. It's a sure work that he has to learn it. Learn it so that he can deliver it to us. So we also can learn from him how to assess realm of grace. Say amen. And you can see the whole of the book of Hebrews is zero or around that Hebrews chapter. Is it chapter 4? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. That is, when you have come to understand the high priestly work of Jesus Christ, you have learned how he also went through all the learning of infirmities. Say amen. How he has gone through all the process you are going through, why you are not a strange person. All of that is to get to a point when you need that. You need grace. And so, reason for righteousness will be because of grace. Grace is what you need to reign. You can't reign without grace. It's the reign of grace through righteousness. So that grace at that point has become abundant grace. That's why those who say to Paul, are you saying we should continue with sin? That grace you are bound, say you don't understand. That when we come to abundance of grace, we're no more talking about sin. We are talking about obedience. You know what I'm talking about? Should I forgive? That's what should you forgive. Or you don't need any impediment to your grace access. You don't leave things to much my owner. You want to clear away all impediment that can impede you? What did Solomon call it? He said, little foxes that spoil the vine. Little foxes. Stubbornness. You know what I'm saying? Rebellious. Rebellion heart. Rebellious heart. Some it is anger. Some of it is bitterness. All those small things. Something easily just get you angry. Get you put off. Behavior. Some of this behavior does not concern you. Get you put off. Cocoa, it's not. It doesn't involve you. It doesn't take from your food. I can't stick those things. Just talk those things. No, that thing you are doing, you are wasting your access to grace. You don't need all those small things. Waste time. That's what I like Paul's instruction in the book of 2 Corinthians. They have been there for these promises. Dearly beloved, I've been there for these promises. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. So it means there are some things you can see by yourself and cleanse yourself from. It didn't say pray that God will cleanse you. When you are in the realm of the Father, you are not asking God, please cleanse me from all this bitterness. No. You pull them off. The God of bitterness that trouble you, pull it off. Go and meet the person that is the source there and hug him. Until your heart for her or him changes. Does that thing will rob you of grace? So you can't get to a throne and those things remain there. Cannot be there. Say hey man. They can't be there. They must have, because if it's there, you can't get there. But I've robbed you of so much good in your journey. Say hey, amen. So let's go to that Romans chapter 5. So if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Shall reign in life. So you don't get to a place where you have access to life for reign if you have not accessed abundance of grace. Because it is life. And life is the promise at the end of the process of righteousness. It is life in promise. If it's Christ's life, if it's the Father's life, it's life at stake. So it is life you will actually use to reign. But the currency inside that life is grace. If it has no grace, it has lacks potency. So the potency or the active ingredient of that life is grace. Sometimes you take some drugs and they said it can't take care of that. It lacks the ingredient or the test. The ingredient is not enough. No, it's the tablet is the same size. The same size. But the ingredient there is not the same. So those who study it, when they look at the product and they also made it, I said, are these people don't put there enough ingredients? So the same two tablets, it can't do the job. Say, go and buy Bisham. Why Bisham? Bisham has that, they have that branding that what they said, if they say is 2 milligrams there, it's 2 milligrams there. So the meaning is this one. So if Jesus, if you come through the grace of Jesus, if he's going to approve you for that pathway, he makes sure that you have enough active ingredients. You can't reign by his life if you don't have grace for it. Abundance of grace. So the dealing is how to ensure that it creates all avenue for us to access grace. All avenue to access grace. This time instruction comes. Don't play with it. Please don't play. Don't play. Listen to it. This time commandments. Please, those two things. The Lord said of reason, said, I will have to emphasize how to learn to reach commandments. You can't start with commandment to be grievous. You need knowledge. You need certain level of grace that comes through that via to strengthen your heart. Say amen. To access enough precepts, enough lines, to be able to access grace for commandments. But commandment, you must. If you don't go through commandment, the procedure of righteousness is not finished. That's why, sir, you can see that all the, as I round up today, you could see that the remnant seed of the man-child company, there's nobody who have testimony who does not keep commandment. You can't have testimony and not keep commandment. Testimony is inch around commandment. They say he has testimony. Go and check it. They keep commandments. All the remnants, they keep commandments. Say, hey man, what is lacking in all of them? You can keep commandment and not arrive at doing the commandments. Yes, so keep commandment. You should be doer. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Not he that keepeth righteousness. He that doeth. So I mean, keeping is meant to make you a professional doer. What you keep must become what you do. So they won't give you that nature until you are a doer. So all the remnant seed are keeping commandments of God. And the dragon went after them. He went after them. And they couldn't ascend. Praise God. Until they found help again to complete the process of keeping commandments. Say amen. Amen. That's why the sure place for you to get to is not to aim at testimony. It's to aim at prophecy. Because you can't be in prophecy and not be doing commandments. They are the one that you have guarantee of. I went in the house, please. All of them are servants of God. I went in the house, please. They are servants of God. You can see that man-child company. He was caught up to God and his throne. What made him left his brethren? All of them are for the word of God and for testimony. So what made him different? He has begun to do. So when you do a thing, when I say you are doing a thing, it's because you already have it as a book. When you don't have it, it's when you have a book, you are a doer. That's why every time you can't achieve this academics if you are not publishing. You must write book. If you don't publish, you perish. You don't just teach, you publish. You must have a book. Say amen. Say, how many books has he published? God, your book represents who you are really. Say amen. So you can see all of them that way, that those of them who have the testimony, who also do the commandments, are all prophets. And because all of them have right to the tree of life. Yeah. Say amen. Amen. That you have right to the tree of life. So if you have right to the tree of life, that means you have finished the whole process. You have the victory already. Say amen. Amen. And that is the reason for the reign of grace. Reign of grace is not fulfilled until we start doing the commandments. You have to not only keep it, but also do it. Are we blessed today, please? We stop there. Let's move to the last point there to see how it relates to eternal life. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much abound. Can you see that? Yes. So it doesn't matter how much has been wrong before, grace can outdo it. Yes. It can outdo it. It doesn't matter. It's bad. Nothing gets bad. It's not of grace. Once it's abounding, all it needs to be abounding. If it's abounding, it's cleaning all the works. That as sin hath reigned unto death, as sin hath reigned, even so, grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life by the same Jesus. Now Jesus we go stay with. I said now Jesus we still stay with. There's still more to this Jesus. There's still more to this Jesus. This Jesus. This Jesus, God has made him the Prince of Life. He's the author of eternal salvation. This Jesus, that's what God wrought through him. The Lord said something to me of reason. He said, until Jesus has tested the grace, he does not have power. And I was, until he tested the grace. You know, the season, you know, there's something about this being. Whatever Jesus takes from God and use doesn't remain the same way it is in God. Wow. The thing becomes activated. And the way they explained to me was the issue of vaccination. When you take a vaccine and put in the body of a child, the vaccine wakes up antibody. Yeah. Now, if you take the blood of that child to another person, you bring antibodies that are already alive. Yeah. Wow. So the power of life is alive in Christ. Once you take a thing, looking unto Jesus. Once you pick from Jesus, it's alive. It's not as it was in God. That's become compliant to what man can use. And sin and death will be swallowed up in victory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we bless the Lord for today? I appreciate him for today. Give him praise and glory today. Lord, we thank you. We exalt your name, our Father. Rushka paliba rabalata anda sandalea embrada balada balia po rabalashke pihandos te ponimasin labana brota laba rabalashke toste prenamasunda lebrahanda bane berota leda hashka pata brota neya hanglades te prenamasunda lebrahashka pane barota handa balata hasa brekelede kashida balia po rabalashke brekelida ba rabalashke. Look unto Jesus. Keep looking. Keep looking. As you hear his word, keep looking. As you hear the ministrations, keep looking. Keep looking. Keep looking. You are hearing? Keep looking. Keep looking. That man you are looking at is an entity of the throne of God. Keep looking. There's grace for translation. There's grace for transformation. There's grace. There's grace. There's grace. Mekata labahash kepali barra kataye. Breshke meliandosta. Brakalia doba shandaye. Parota liandopa, mekleteske pelibato, rakade basta, brakonda leske, e premiato liba shandala. Peliatalia shada. I find grace. Who will find grace? You find grace. More grace in this season. More grace. More grace. More grace. We are breaking free from everything that has circumscribed our position over a long time. We are making progress into the higher things of the Father. Ye mateleske peliba rushke pane, rushka pata librehanda banata. Brado bae, rushke meni masenda librehanda shirabali. Paleta librehanda banima rushka pata. Keep your gaze on him. Keep your gaze on him. Keep your gaze on Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, keep your gaze on him. Keep your gaze on him. Who is in the highest of the heaven? Keep your gaze on him. Who is enthroned on the right hand of the majesty on high? Keep your gaze on him. Jesus, the Son. Lord, we thank you tonight. We appreciate your name, Jesus. We thank you for mercy. It's such mercy we have found in this season, that you come to instruct our hearts in the way, that will come in the way and know the way and keep in the way of righteousness, keep in the way to the end, to your throne, to your reign, to your throne, until the present world is faded off. Lord Jesus, that this whole world, this whole present creation will lose its element and tangibility, because we see your face and find grace. Thank you, my Father. We appreciate your name today. Thank you, Lord, for City Gate Church. Thank you. I believe strongly, oh God, that a portal of mercy has been opened for this house in this season. To journey in for the months ahead and year ahead, that this house will find so much grace. Grace for everyone, for every heart. For every heart. That every heart will be established in grace. No, not in the meat that perisheth, but in grace. Every heart will be established in grace. For every heart will be longing for more. Longing for more. We all be longing for more. And we actually will access more of you. Thank you, Mother Father. And our face will be changed. Our face will be altered. Our gaze will be altered. Thank you, Mother Father. We appreciate you. Thank you for the meeting tomorrow, God. Thank you for so much mercy coming to tomorrow. Thank you, Father, for help. Thank you for bringing your son safely here. Thank you, Father. And your handmaiden, thank you for safety. Thank you for safety. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you have to do for us again this weekend. Mother, I appreciate tonight. We go in your name, Jesus. We go under your power and strength, that we are taken care of in every way. Even in our body, we are taken care of. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone is, there's ease there already. There's ease there already. In all the pain, all the prayer, there's ease there already. One of the things grace does is to bring ease. Thank you, my Father. We appreciate your name. That the year ahead of us is a good year already. We have supply. Abundant supply. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless. Thank you.
Let's appreciate Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Spirit, words as life has come unto you. Now is the season to walk in the things spoken. For more messages, visit our website at www.thecitygate.org. Stay blessed.